John chapter 6, we have heard this a lot, but I really feel to preach this tonight. It may not be for everybody, but it's for somebody. Let's go to verse 2. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, watch this really close. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already knew what was going to happen. But he asked Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. As Thomas preached to us last Wednesday, here comes Motormouth. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, I'm sorry, that wasn't Peter. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was Motormouth's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Listen to this. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down is numbered about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. You can go ahead and be seated. Don't lie. You're in church. How many people are tired tonight? Let me try this. How many people are not tired tonight? One's retired. Was you off today? No, you feel good? So how many people are not tired? 3, 4, 5, and a couple kids. Wait a minute. That'd be really weird. Do it again. Let me see how many people. 1, 2. Oh, no, it's growing. It's growing. It's growing. It looked like 7, then it went to 20. We can safely say that most of the people in this room are tired. Wednesday night church is sometimes tough to get to. Can you say amen? And sometimes we make excuses, and sometimes it's we got work, we got a lot going on, it's tough to get here sometimes. But most of the time on Wednesday, we're 3 days into the work week if we work, and we're tired. Life has a way of pulling on you. Can you say amen to that? A lot of different ways of pulling on you. I have a lot of conversations with myself. Anybody with me? I talk to me a lot. And I have all these conversations. Because, believe it or not, being a superintendent at a mines and pastoring a church and being a pop and being the best husband on the planet, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And when you deal with that, Eric, sometimes I ask myself, do I need to allot more time to this? Do I need to allot more time to that? Is this falling through the cracks? Is this my fault? Is this more that I can do? Is there something more that I can do? Am I really doing this right? And these conversations go on constantly. Where do I need to go? How much study time can I devote this week to Wednesday night sermon? How much study time can I get ready for Sunday? Do I got somebody that can fill in on this week? And if I can get them to fill in, that's going to give me a little bit of break so I can concentrate over here. But then Friday night, we're having a sleepover. Are we going to sleep good? What am I going to do Saturday? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if Sophie's sleeping over, we don't sleep good. That kid has a knack for going sideways into bed, and me and Tracy are on opposite ends, and she's taking up all the middle. And don't get me wrong, I love it. I love it. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in my mind. And in the middle of all of that, you have devotions that you have to do. Sometimes I ask myself, am I just studying so that I can preach to the people, or am I studying to feed myself? Is there a devotion just for me? Should I share this with them? Is everything that God give me, is this for me? Is it something that I got to give? There's a whole lot that goes on. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because life has a way of pulling on you. And what's interesting is our world, and I know we talk about this a lot, but we're going to talk about it tonight. Our world has a way of a lot of people getting in touch with you. Did anybody get a spam call this week? What'd you do? How many people answered it? How many people don't answer it? Yeah. I mean, when the spam call comes up, I'm like, unknown, unanswered. I don't need somebody calling me that I don't know. It's like, I don't need somebody else pulling on me or wanting something else or try to sell me hair products. I don't need that kind of stuff. So when all of that happens, there are these things, whether we realize it or not, they pull on us. And when they pull on us, without even, we see so many images a week. Amen? We see a lot of stuff. And those things, whether we realize it or not, they're playing in our mind. And there's things that are telling you that there's things that are wrong with you that you need to fix. That I don't know how they know, but I get this Spartan shampoo ad all the time. And Spartan shampoo, for some of you guys, if you're interested, is supposed to help your hair grow back. And I get this ad for it all the time, and it says, use code WARRIOR for 20% off. And all these things are, they pull on you. They pull on you. And sometimes, let's be honest, we don't feel like we got enough to do what we need to do. Amen? Jesus asked Philip to prove him. He said, how are these people going to eat? Philip says, 200 penny worth. It's not enough. Now, depending on what you look at, a penny worth, a penny was in the Bible times a day's wage. Remember the story where he hired the people and he brought them in and he paid them a penny? That was a day's wage. So they got 200 days' wages. And he says, it's not enough for all these people to eat. So they had quite a bit. I'm gonna use somebody. Here, can I use you? Yeah, you. Here, I'm gonna give you money. It's not a lot of money, but we're gonna pretend it's 200 penny worth. Did you raise your hand? Were you tired? You were tired. You were. I seen you. Right. You're tired. Does he? I better be careful. Does he ever make you tired? How about these little guys? Do they ever make you tired? Do they ever pull on you? Because what happens is you got a limited amount. You only got a limited amount that you can give. So every time they come and pull on you, you got to hand it over. Give me. No, not all of it. Don't give them all of it, because you got more stuff you got to give, right? You can't give them all of it, so you hand it over. And then he comes home, right? You're on swing shift, right? Sometimes it's in the evening, like it kind of supposed to be, and then sometimes it's in the middle of the night, and you know what he does? He needs something, don't he? So guess what? You got it. Let me give it to you. I won't give it to the girls because, and then he takes from you, and then they take from you. And I don't know if y'all know this or not, but there's another one inside of her taking from her right now. That's a lot of taking. Wouldn't you agree? And Now, here's the struggle. Is it really their obligation to feed these people? It's not really an emergency, is it? I mean, in the story, they come out and Jesus sees the crowd coming out. They're coming out because of the miracles. He's going to teach them and but is it, I mean, really, you know what he could have said? Hey, guys, go eat and come back tomorrow. Didn't he? Ain't that right? He could have did that, but he didn't. See, there are some things in our life that pull on us, and we've got to decide what's important and what isn't. Because you know what the problem is in the world that we live in right now? There's a lot of things going on in our life that are not important. Can I preach on us for a minute? Can I preach on you? Can I preach on you? Because there are things that we scroll through that are not important. But somehow they find a way of taking priority in our life. And when we get in those situations, whether we realize it or not, you know what those things are doing? They're taking from us. Man, you gave them a lot. You about to run out. And when they take it, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're not going to get it back. Amen? So he says, 200 penny worth. What we have is not enough. It's not enough to take care of. Now, let me tell you this. Jesus wanted to feed those people, didn't he? The problem was he wanted to feed them, but the disciples didn't have enough to feed them. Let me tell you what God will do. God will get you in a place where you can't do what he asked you to do. God will put you in a place where you are stretched too thin. And then you're asking yourself, okay, Tuesday night, music practice. You got to be there, right? Guess what that means? Dustin's going to be preaching. Does it make you nervous when Dustin preaches? Yeah, so that takes a little bit too. And everything keeps pulling, and it keeps pulling, and it keeps pulling, and it keeps pulling. And then you got to decide, what's the most important thing that I need to give this to? Because I've only got so much. And the truth is, every person in this room is tired. So, congratulations. Y'all got to sit down and watch me work for 30 more minutes today. Everybody gets to come in and sit down and watch me work. Because I stood up when y'all worshiped the whole time too. And you get that. I gotta sing and then I got a family too. Your family don't go to church here, but you got a family that you gotta go see. And you feel like and if you don't see them, tell me if I'm right or not. I haven't heard from you in days. Why ain't you called me? And you just want to say, shut up. Because everybody's pulling, and everybody wants more of it, and more and more and more and more and more. And then the telemarketers want more, and then this wants more, and then that wants more, and that wants more. And Jesus asked Philip, lay this out, because he's telling him, weigh this out. How are we going to get these people fed, Philip? How are we going to do it? I don't know, man. We don't have enough. We don't have enough to do it. But Jesus wants them fed. He knows what he's going to do. And then Andrew says, hey, there's a lad here. Let me tell you what happens when you start getting depleted. When you start getting depleted, you get desperate. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many people have ever worked so much that you just went into zombie mode? Raise your hand. For weeks on end, I worked 100 to 120 hours a week, weeks on end. Do you remember that, Dave? I seen you at Lowe's that time. And he was like, man, you look tired. You remember that? He's like, man, you look tired. I said, I am tired. 110, 120 hours a week. That's not much sleep. And let me tell you what happens when you get in those places. You don't think right. You don't act right. Everything's pulling on you so much that you get so wore down. And you get so tired. You just go into this mode. And what's really weird, you feel awful. You just don't know how awful you feel. you get depleted, and then when you get depleted, you start getting desperate. You know what they're getting ready to do? They're getting ready to snatch this little kid's lunch. Did you read the story? They're getting ready to take this kid's lunch. His mommy packed it for him. And Andrew's like, hey, this guy's got some stuff. But he says, but what is that among so many? I mean, he came prepared. We're prepared. But even with all that, we don't have enough. Can I preach to you my thought now? Jesus knew what he was going to do. And here's our problem. Sometimes we don't trust him. So you know what we keep doing? We keep giving away, giving away, giving away. Can I use you for a minute? No, I won't ask you to say anything, sing anything, or do anything. Just sit there and let me talk to you. Well, I got these little girls at home, and I'm going to tell you, am I spending enough time with them? And then I got a job that I got to do, and then I got to go play the piano. And then Tracy calls me and says, I need to go play somewhere. And then I don't know, how's Robin going to feel about that? And then, did y'all plant a garden this year? Not a very good one, but you wanted to plant a better one, right? Because she's our Whole Food lady over there. And you're like, man, we want really lots of tomatoes and we want really good stuff. And we really didn't have time to do it. So now we got these tomato plants that are leaned over. We didn't even stake them because we're too busy and there's too much stuff going on. And the peppers have blighted and we didn't even put nothing on them. And by the way, the grass is high. Why are you laughing, Robin? It's so true. And I haven't been to their house, I promise. Because when life does that, you're asked, do you ever ask yourself, how do I allot this and how do I do this and how do I get everybody fed and everybody taken care of? I ask myself that all the time. Am I preaching good enough? Are the people in the church getting fed? Because it's my obligation to feed them. And then if I ask one of these other guys to preach, I got to make sure that they're in the right place, that they're going to give something. You know, hey, how you doing? How's everything been? How's your Christian walk? How you doing? Because I can't just throw you out there and let you make a mess of things. And there's a lot of thought that goes into it. But Jesus wants people fed. And he wanted Philip to add it all up. And Philip's, look at the person beside you and say, I don't have enough. And then if you're in this room today and you got kids that are lost, you put pressure on yourself to somehow find a way to make sure that the gospel gets to them, or if you got a spouse that's lost, or you got a spouse that's indifferent about the gospel, or you got a spouse that's just crazy, they're just crazy, and you're just praying that God, don't look at them if they're sitting beside you, don't look at them. Because there's so much of this stuff that goes on, and you're praying, and you're trying to figure all this stuff out, and Jesus says, what are you going to do, Philip? And he did this to prove him. He did this to test him. Now watch what Philip does. He says, we don't have enough. Let's do this right now. If you're in this room right now and you feel like there's so much stuff going on in your life and you don't have enough to complete it, stand up. I thank God for the rest of you that are sitting, but for those of you that are standing, this message is for you. You can sit back down. Let you rest. You needed to stand up anyway. What do you do, Thomas? When you're driving down the road and you get this feeling, I don't know if y'all ever got this feeling. You may not even know what I'm talking about. But I've got a feeling in my life sometimes that I'm late on my homework. Does anybody know that feeling? When he's like, I'm not going to get this done. There's a weird feeling that comes over you. Sometimes in my life, I get this feeling that I'm going to be late on my homework. Like, I'm not keeping up. I'm not running fast enough. I don't have enough. I just don't have enough. And thank goodness we're preaching this on a Wednesday night to you tired people that raised your hand and said you're just wore out and your garden ain't growing right. And all that stuff is going on. But yet you came here on a Wednesday night, midweek service, and you got a lot going on and you're tired, but you're still here. Thank God you're here tonight. Because Jesus knows what he's going to do in your life. Before he ever asked you, before anything started pulling on you, before he told you to add it all up, he already knows what he's going to do. He already has a plan for you to bring you to an expected end. Are you hearing me? He's got a plan for you. It's not like all of a sudden Jesus just decided to see how this was going to go and let no, he has a plan. He is bringing you to an expected end. He knows exactly what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, but he's got to let you see that you are inadequate within yourself and you will never have enough to do what he's called you to do. I'm never going to have enough, because the idea is growth, right? I guess you could have enough if there was three people that came out into the wilderness and you had 200 Pennyworth. Your life is about to change, buddy. A lot. It's going to be different. I'm going to tell you why it's different. When you go from two kids to three kids, you two are outnumbered. Because then what do? Right now you're like, you get her and you get her and we're good. Well, what happens when? Then it's like, oh goodness. Can I talk to y'all? Let you know? I know. I've lived it. This is experience preaching here. But I am going to be honest. I had two girls, and when Ian showed up, I felt like that I wasn't outnumbered. I said, man, another guy to go through it with me. He said, what do you got? Two fishes, five loaves of bread. If y'all don't know this, the number seven in Scripture represents completeness. I don't think it was an accident that there were seven items they brought to him. Do you? It represents completeness, because here's what's going to happen. When you figure out what you got, when you figure this out, then what's going to happen is when you get complete in him, he says, here's what I need you to do. I need you to give it to me. I need you to give it to me. He knew what he was going to do from the beginning. See, the problem is you're trying to work all of this out by yourself, and you got to give it to him. I'm going to tell you what I learned a long time ago. I've been pastor now almost 10 years, and I'm going to tell you what happens. Some weeks, I don't have enough time to study. Some weeks, I come in here and I say, God, if you don't speak, we're in trouble. And let me tell you what God does if you give it to him. If you give it to him, he can take very little and make a whole lot out of it. But the key is you got to give it to him. If you would just give it to him, and when you give it to him, he can multiply. There are days when I've got one verse, but God has a way that if I will just give it to him, he will take it and he'll multiply it. You ever overstudied a sermon? That's a real thing, ain't it? Did you say a lot? You ever had like pages and pages of notes that you never use because we in the American church put pressure on you to sit down? Is that the reason, or is it other reasons? I think as Brother Nick told you one time, see, if y'all don't know this, he preached in Africa, and they want you to preach for hours over there. And Darren got up to preach, and was it Nick that told you? He said, hey, man, we're on American time, not African time. Oh, you say that until he preaches for 4 hours, and you're sitting here on a Sunday, and you want to go to IHOP and you or wherever you go, and you can't get out of here because he's still going. Then you're going to get itchy feet like your homework's late. Sometimes you study it, and you study it, and you study it, and you study it, and you can study yourself mad. But let me tell you what you do. If you give it to Jesus, He says, just give it to me. I want the people fed. I want your children fed. I want your husband fed. I want your spouse saved. Give it to me. Because, Sherry, did you not say it out there in the foyer? We can't save them. We can't do it anyway. All we got to do is give what we got to him. So when we come into this church, if it's a tired praise, give him a tired praise. But give him what you got. Because if I give him what I got, he's got a plan to take it and multiply and bless the people around me. It ain't up to me. It's up to him. So give it to him. How do you give it to him? You ever heard these sermons come and lay it at the altar? Wouldn't it be cool if there was a box that you could like bring and lay at the altar with the stuff in it? But you know what the problem is? You still ain't figured out what we're supposed to put in a box. Come, just lay your burdens down. I don't even know which one's my burden and which one's my blessing yet. Am I talking to you? You're like, because sometimes blessings make you tired. So is this a blessing or is it a burden? Let me tell you what you do. You bring it all to him. He said, cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. So when you can't do it, and we've already admitted we can't do it, you stood up and you said, I got too much going on. Give it to him. So tonight, it's 7:55. We got plenty of time to do this. If you need prayer and you're tired, come on, Aaron, if you want to play, unless you're tired. We'll let Josh do it. He's younger. He's already up. Look, he's already up here, and you're still in your seat. Ian, I think you're younger than both of them. What are you doing, Chandler? And you're way younger than all of them. What's taking so long? I want to pray for you because I know what you're going through. Because I have fought this battle in my mind for years. It's a balance, ain't it? Ain't the Christian walk a balance? Where's he at? There he is. So me and Maverick here, shake my hand. So what I've been doing is when I shake his hand, I've been pulling. And the other day, I wasn't expecting it. I kind of leaned over to shake his hand. Do what you did. And I went, oh, Lord. I'll shake your hand, too. Good to see you. Eddie's got your glasses. You want to pull? Let's pull. So I'm not joking. I about went over that seat. I didn't tell him that. Man, he caught me off balance. He about pulled me over. And you know what's tough, man? It's tough to find that balance. Ain't it? Because, man, I'm working too much. I'm not working enough. I'm spending too much time with my kids and in my job. So now I'm over here doing too much, and I'm over there doing too much, and I'm over here doing too much, and I don't have enough. If you're here and I preach to you tonight, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. Why? Because you know what we got to do? Come on, Eric. Because what we got to do is we got to learn to just give it to him. You know what your morning prayer should be? Let me help you. If you're in this situation and you feel out of bounds, you know how your morning prayer should go? It should go like this. God, everything that happens to me today, I'm giving it to you. You did it this morning. You didn't even know it. You didn't even know what I was going to preach, did you? Had no idea. I got to work and he said, you got a lot on your mind? I said, yeah, I got a lot going on. He said, did you pray about it? Shut up. Let's pray about it. Because, Eric, whatever it is, man, if we give it to him, he'll give you peace when there ain't no peace. When everything is chaotic around you, you can walk in peace. Sherry, I'm going to say it again. We got to stop feeling like we're the ones that have to save people. You know what we got to do? Give it to him. Give it to him. And here's the kicker. We got to trust him with it. We got to trust him with it. I've got some things I'm praying about. I trust him with it, Dave. I want to trust him with it. Jesus, you take it. 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 I'm going to quit talking so we can pray, because these people are tired and they're standing in line. And we're going to pray for balance. We're going to pray for that thing where you give it to him. You say, God, here it is. I present it to you. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Would you help me pray? Would you help me pray? Would you help me pray? Come on. Come on. Come on. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, I want tonight to be a healing service. God, we're not preaching for applause. Lord, we're preaching for the truth of your word that liberates.